6 minutes after noon. This is your station, 88.9 KETR. A disappointing 83rd legislature, a trip to Birmingham, and the largest freshman class in school history. Hello and welcome to the September 2013 edition of The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. Hello, Dr. Jones.
Hello, Jared. Good to be here with you.
Well, I'll tell you what, anyone with access to the archives of this program, we've done quite a few months' worth where we were talking about the TRB bill that was expected to pass in the 83rd legislature, and if not then, then in Special Session 1,
right.
And if not then, in Special Session 2,
right.
And so forth and so on.
Forth.
So after three, a few months of special sessions, we were holding out hope, but it turns out that's not going to happen.
Yeah, Jared and I, we've been talking about this since January, the legislature, and there's reason for it because our future, our destiny is so closely tied to what the legislature decides to do. But I promise you, and I promise our listeners, that I'm not going to talk after today anymore about the 83rd session of the Texas legislature.
It's done.
Okay, is that a deal? But I do feel like we need to give kind of close the loop on this one and put it to bed. Overall, I think the legislature treated higher education well. There were additional funds. Many of the cuts from last time were restored. The legislature put more money into the formulas. The formulas are that's the methodology we use to receive state funding. In terms of kind of base operations and so forth, instructional support, operational support, we came out of it in good shape.
Sure.
Last year was a year of record growth for us. That always helps when you're going into the legislature because it all has to do with market share and those institutions that are growing. Get a bigger piece of the pie, and we were fortunately in that position. The big disappointment is the TRBs, the tuition revenue bonds, and real quickly, that doesn't really describe what they are. That's the way the state funds capital improvements at institutions of higher education. And the way it works is they will issue bonds, which then we use to pay for new construction. We have needed a new library for many years. This has been our first priority on our TRB wish list since before I was here as president, and that's now a little more than 5 years ago. So we were very hopeful, and we had very positive signs from the legislature. The money was there. Our elected officials, our senator, our state representative said it looks good. The state has not had TRBs since 2006. This is the year.
Right. And then politics happened.
And then politics happened. Yeah. And if we get into the murky details, we'll be here well past the close of this program.
Right.
But the long and the short of it is it didn't pass. It came down to the last day of the regular session. Hope did spring, not eternally, but momentarily that last day.
Right.
And there was you know, deal, rumors of a deal and so forth, but the clock ran out. And then the governor did not put it on the call for any of the special sessions. As I think you and most of our viewers, our listeners know, the agendas of special sessions are set by the governor, and the legislature can only consider those items which he puts on the call. He had three hot-button items, abortion, juvenile justice, and transportation. Took three sessions. They got all those resolved, and then they went home. And it's very unlikely there's going to be another called session. So we're now going to have to take all of those hopes and dreams and aspirations and tuck them away for another 16 months.
Well, sure.
And and look forward to the 84th, which will convene in seems like a long time, but
about a year and a half, right?
About a year and a half.
Yeah.
But you're either in a session or you're preparing for the next session. So That's where we are now. Right.
Those hopes and aspirations are vacuum sealed, and they'll be fresh.
Yes.
When we come back to the 84th session. Then.
And again, this is one of the joys and assets, really, associated with being part of the Texas A&M University system. Because, as you know, our chancellor is a retired or a recovering politician, you might say. He's very comfortable in Austin. We have extremely good legislative governmental relations staff representing us in Austin. All of that is to the good, and we can certainly make a case. TRBs have not been funded since 2006.
Right.
And so it's now 7 years. By the time the legislature convenes in 15, it'll be 9 years. So something's going to have to give.
Well, we will continue to hold out optimism for the 84th legislature.
That's right. Well, and we have a great story to tell here. You know, the campus gets more beautiful every day. Students still seem to want what we do here. You know, the case sells itself.
Well, that's where we're headed next is you know, the purpose of the new academic buildings that we're hoping for. Not that the buildings that we have are, you know, the library, for instance, it does hold books.
Right.
But libraries today are expected to be much more than book repositories.
Exactly.
And so that's the deal. But the fact is, students do want to come here. And with an ever-growing student population, you have that problem where it's time to freshen up and get some buildings that are more suited to today's college students' needs. When we talk about today's college students, I mean, goodness, we have what is apparently the largest freshman class in the history
Yes.
of this institution.
That's correct.
Right now, on campus, surrounding us during
Yes.
this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was overall our enrollment is flat this fall, which really reflects a nationwide trend. I was just reading some articles from different sources. And college enrollment, I haven't seen the numbers for Texas yet, but just anecdotally, I think a lot of people are flattening out right now. I think partly, frankly, it has to do with the recovering economy and people are going back to work rather than going back to college. That being said, our freshman class is indeed the largest in university history. So we're seeing here at A&M Commerce, we're kind of seeing a remixing of our student body,
right,
more toward undergraduate, and our declines really have been on the graduate side of the ledger. We have this fall another high water mark is that with our new residence hall, which opened on time and I won't say under budget, but in budget.
Right, sure.
We have 300 new residential students here on campus, more than we did last year. So
right.
We're up over 2,000 students living on campus.
Right.
And people have commented to me how just walking around, you can see them. There's just more activity on campus. It's getting mighty hard to find a place to eat your lunch over at the Sam Rayburn Student Center. And, of course, we're addressing that with a $10 million expansion that will
right.
Open in phases, part of it later this fall and the rest in the spring. So, the campus is a buzz, and so we're very excited about especially the new students on campus. And I think it's important to note that in addition to what these students do to stimulate activity and, the creative and intellect here on campus,
right.
that they make a real contribution to our local community as well. These are 300 additional residents of Commerce, and they live here, they eat here, they buy things here, and that has a huge impact. You know, in a community the size of Commerce, 300 new residents can mean an awful lot.
Sure,
and
sure.
You know, I'd like to reach out to all of our listeners, those associated with the university and all the others as well, to embrace these students, engage them. You know, welcome them into your churches. Welcome them into your homes. Invite them into your lives. Share the joy that being a resident of Commerce brings with it.
Right.
And these students yearn for that. They want to be connected, and they want to be part of a community that's larger than themselves.
Sure. And it encourages them, too, to return, which is,
yes.
you know, as much a problem as that is anywhere to
right.
get students to come back after that first year. But if they have, a sort of their home community and then the community that they have at school,
yeah.
that would encourage them to return to finish their education and hopefully to be a part of the community beyond that.
Absolutely true, Jared, because you know, a lot of people, the kind of the conventional wisdom is that students who don't do well in college are have low intellect. And success really is not tied very directly to intellectual capability. All of our students are capable of succeeding in college.
Right.
But the ones who come back are the ones who feel connected and engaged and who feel like they belong here. And that has to do with the university, but it also has to do with the community at large.
I think it's there's no question that now is an exciting time to be a Lion. And with so many new faces around town, this is a great time to be in the community of commerce. Whether or not you might claim to be a Lion, we're all Lions here.
That's right.
This is Lion country.
This is Lion country, absolutely.
So we've got to take a quick break. Up next, a group of students on campus intends to make a return to Birmingham this month, and this time it involves the President of the United States. We'll hear about that. You're listening to The President's Perspective only on your station, 88.9 KETR.
KETR programming is supported by the Greenville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Wine, spirits, and song are all on tap in downtown Greenville this summer. Live music can be found at Greenville's wineries, and ghost walks are available by appointment most weekends. More information on these and other Greenville attractions is available at greenvillechamber.com.
Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails loves layering sound.
I aspire to make a record that sounds better 10 listens in than it does after 2. And still, at 50 listens, you're picking out things that add a depth and a thoughtfulness to it.
Trent Reznor, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 3 until 6 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
A generation ago, daily routines started with a morning paper and ended with TV news in the evening. Now, that routine is history. Stay connected throughout the afternoon to local, national, and international news as it happens.
The United States would not be surprised if North Korea actually carries out a missile test.
Listen this afternoon.
Get your event on the KETR events calendar. Submit it online at ketr.org/events.
The President's Perspective is a monthly half-hour chat with the CEO of TAMUC, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. We talked about some of the wonders that may lie in store of the 84th legislature, if it fares a little better for higher education this next go-around in 2015. We'll also know that we're surrounded right now on this campus by the largest freshman class in the university's history. That's a really cool thing. Let's shift focus right now to a group of students whose educational endeavors are leading them to a national stage.
That's right, Jared. We have a lot of amazing students here, but there is a group that I've come to be acquainted with that I am especially proud of. This is a student organization that calls itself the New Beginnings Multicultural Gospel Choir, and they are a singing group, and they are extraordinarily talented. They sing both accompanied and a cappella, and they perform in faith-based settings. They perform here on campus, community events, and so forth. All volunteers, they're full-time students. They're here to get an education. But they're an amazingly talented group of young musicians as well. In May, they had the opportunity to visit Birmingham, Selma, and Montgomery, Alabama. And I had the great honor. They invited me to go along with them. I wasn't they didn't ask me to sing with them, which we're all happy about that. But this trip was organized by an alumni couple, Frank and Rosalie Turner, who spend part of the year in Birmingham and part of the year in New Mexico. Frank is a retired railroad executive, and his wife is an author, and she's written extensively about the civil rights movement. So they organized a tour of these three historic sites of the civil rights movement, of course, and we don't have time to go into all the different places they visited and the history that they learned, but it was a deeply moving experience for them, and it was a deeply compelling experience for me to be in their presence as history became part of their lives.
Sure.
They sang at the 16th Avenue Baptist Church in Birmingham. They sang in Selma. They sang at the Dexter Avenue Church in Montgomery, which was Dr. King's church in the 1950s up until the early 60s. And also while in Birmingham, they were received by the mayor of Birmingham, Mayor William Bell. And they wanted to sing for him, too. That wasn't part of the program, but they asked if they could. So they gathered. It was on the roof of City Hall on a fairly warm day, I'll say. But they performed for the mayor. And on the spot, he invited them to return on September 15th when the city of Birmingham will celebrate the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement.
Right.
And, of course, this was an amazing and unexpected joy to be invited to become really part of a national celebration.
Right.
And as we were leaving, I was talking to the mayor's chief of staff, and he said, you know, the president's going to be there as well. And I said, what? Yeah, President Obama has been invited to attend. So if everything comes together, and we have no reason to think that it won't, our students are going regardless. They will be performing essentially on the national stage. This is going to be an event that gets covered nationally, I suspect internationally.
Sure.
And if the president is not managing an international crisis, which unfortunately
could be the case,
he will be there as well. And the New Beginnings Multicultural Gospel Choir will be performing for the president of the United States.
Wow.
And it's just an amazing opportunity for these young people. And again, I'm so grateful to our alums who helped out with the cost. They really sponsored the students' lodging and, as I said, arranged all of their touring activities while
sure.
they were there.
And I'm thinking about just these students who maybe a few short years ago were trying to determine which school they wanted to go to, and then they ended up here, and then they ended up forming this group, and then they ended up as part of their educational experience having this trip, which, you know, a lot of college students have a tendency to have the ability to go on trips as part of learning experiences. Some of them can,
right.
some of them can't. In this case, they did, thanks to the help of an alumni. And now,
I know
this.
Exactly. You know, I mean, they were just sort of catapulted. It was one of those right place at the right time things.
Sure.
And the way these students' lives were transformed, okay, these are young people. These are 18, 19, 20-year-olds. There were a few maybe in their mid-20s, you know, people who were coming back to school.
Right.
So for them to read about the Civil Rights Movement is like for you and me to read about the Civil War.
You know,
I mean, it's interesting, but it doesn't impact our lives directly. And I can remember we were in Selma walking over the Edmund Pettus Bridge, which was one of the scene of one of the pivotal moments in the history of the Civil Rights Movement, the Bloody Sunday. Walking over the bridge, and I asked a couple of them, how much of this did you learn in your American history classes? And he said, well, of course, we know who Dr. King is, and we know about the Civil Rights Movement, but we had no idea that it impacted people's lives the way it did.
Right.
And that our lives have been changed because of the courage and really the brute persistence of some of these people. Of course, you have great leaders like Dr. King, but they met some of the, quote, foot soldiers in the movement, now elderly people who were young adults at the time, who marched in those marches and who got blasted with those water hoses, you know, and trampled by the horses and so forth.
Right.
And it was just, it's such a metamorphosis spiritually took place. I'd refer any of our listeners who are interested in this. I talked a lot about this at our fall assembly here on campus a couple of weeks ago. And if you want to go to my website on the tamuc.edu page, click over to the president's website, and I've got both the text of my address and some photographs of that trip.
That'll be great.
And it was inspirational for me, and I fortunately, they have invited me to come along with them again in September. So I'm looking forward to a return engagement.
And you'll get to hear them sing again.
Right.
Regardless of what Mr. Obama is busy doing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that'll if he's not there, it'll be his loss.
What an honor, though, for these students just to be asked to do that. And the experience, the memories that they're going to take for the rest of their lives from their time at A&M Commerce. And this, what you know right now is in the moment, but... you know, it can last. I mean, there are things that stand out in your memory that just persist on and on and help to form who you are. And so how incredible for these students.
I know, you know, all of us, if we're asked to pick out one or two seminal moments, it's not going to be sitting in, well, I was going to say calculus class. Exactly. I don't want to pick on any particular discipline.
Come on, the calculus folks are going to be upset.
Yeah, but usually those are the moments that are unexpected,
right. But
the ones that have the deepest, most profound impact on them. And that was what they experienced on this trip.
Sure. Well, we have just a few minutes before we wrap up, and I'd like to be selfish for the rest of it if I can.
Oh, please do.
I want to quickly, though, I do want to promote the Lions. They kick off against Sol Ross State in the home opener this Saturday. It's going to be a great opportunity to see that brand-new sideline-to-sideline logo at Memorial Stadium. We talk a lot about the substructure, but the fans aren't going to see the substructure. They're just going to know, you know, hopefully with limited injuries, that that the substructure is better, but they're going to get to see that lion head.
Oh, that lion head is phenomenal, and we mentioned this last time. It's quite possibly the largest on-field logo in all of college football.
Right.
And it's just an amazing scene. Goes from the sideline to sideline, from the 25-yard line to the 25-yard line.
Right.
And but as our new coach has said, now that we've had a lot of excitement about the field, let's see some excitement on the field.
That's right. It's time.
It's time.
Well, the excitement's building. In fact, if you'd like to hear from Athletic Director Ryan Ivey and Josh Jorgensen, they were on KETR's Locker Room podcast yesterday. You can listen to that at KETR.org. You can subscribe to that podcast. I think it comes out to twice a week, so you can listen to the sports podcast. I think weekly they're going to have a visit with the guys from Lion Athletics, which will be really good. By the way, if you want to enjoy this weekend's home opener in style, as we like to say, KETR is offering a membership premium. This is the only premium related to the President's Perspective here on KETR. It's something you can still take advantage of, a pair of tickets in the President's Box to enjoy food and fun in addition to a great football game. And in the company of the Hall of Fame inductees, and Dr. Jones and myself will be there. It's a $150 contribution. That's the premium that you get for that pledge when you go online right now to KETR.org and click support this station. Space is extremely limited, so if you'd like to participate and you want to do that, KETR.org, or you should call 903-886-5841 to make sure that space is still reserved, and make that contribution and take advantage of that thing. We're going to have a good time on Saturday.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. We're waiting for football.
That's right. Football, yeah. We're all excited. We're ready for it to be here. We're ready to see how they do. Sol Ross State is the opponent Saturday. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. We're going to start tailgating at 3 p.m. on the campus of A&M Commerce. You'll see the beautiful campus if you come early and then get to enjoy some tailgating with all the folks.
Absolutely.
So that'll be great. Seems this 2013-2014 school year started off in a very big way for A&M Commerce. Dr. Jones, as always, a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you, Jared. It's a pleasure to visit here as well. And again, go Lions.
That's right, go Lions. And by the way, the President's Perspective is heard on the first Wednesday of each month at noon, and again at 5 p.m. on 88.9 KETR. It's archived online to stream anytime you like at KETR.org. The program is produced at KETR Studios on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce with financial support from KETR's members and from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You can become a supporting member of KETR right now at KETR.org by clicking support this station. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.